conopel.
Pues sí a la baba,
pues sí a la baba, conopel. Conopel, pel, 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 conopel, pel, 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 conopel, pel, 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 conopel. Conopel, pel, 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 conopel, pel, 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 conopel, pel, 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 conopel.
Ej, jak to ty panady?
Jak to ty panady, żurawel?
A jak to ty panady?
Jak to ty panady, żurawel? Żurawel, pel, 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 żurawel, pel, 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 żurawel, pel, 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 oj ta żurawel, żurawel, pel, 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 żurawel, pel, 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 żurawel, pel, 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 oj ta żurawel.
Ja je hospi maju,
ja je hospi maju, żurawla.
Ja je hospi maju,
ja je hospi maju, żurawla. Żurawla, bla, 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 żurawla, bla, 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 żurawla, bla, 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 oj ta żurawla. Żurawla, bla, 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 żurawla, bla, 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 żurawla, bla, 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 oj ta żurawla.
Na chodębę,
na korębę, na toptawę konoplu.
Na chodębę,
na korębę, na toptawę konoplu. Konoplu, bla, 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 konoplu, bla, 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 konoplu, bla, 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 oj ta konoplu. Konoplu, bla, 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 konoplu, bla, 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 konoplu, bla, 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 oj ta konoplu.
And fresh off the Maidan in Ukraine, that was Ot Vinta with a modern remake of that traditional Ukrainian folk song, Pusiela Baba Konopel. Baba planted hemp, and now it's ramped up a bit to Baba's now smoking the stuff. So, well, this is BC, and there's strange things going on in Ukraine, and some... A bit of twisted humor, which is probably very much needed on Maidan these days. Again, that was Ot Vinta with Pus Nakurela Baba Zhuravlya. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. З вами Павліна Макворі. Дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Ми маємо дуже цікаві новини на сьогоднішній програмі, як звичайно. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm Pavlina, your host. Thank you so much for joining me. We've got a very interesting program lined up for you. We will have a recipe as usual. We also have a book review by Myra Junik, and this is a review of a fascinating story of a man who survived Holodomor and World War II. It's called Sliding on the Snowstone, and Myra will tell you all about it as well. We will have Ukrainian Jewish heritage and a message by a Jewish Ukrainian historian to the leaders of the Maidan. As well, you may have been following in the news, there are a lot of cars being set on fire in Ukraine. Very recently, just this past weekend, the car of a Canadian embassy staffer was set on fire, and she fortunately was not in it, and she will join us to give us a bit of insight on what an activist on Euromaidan endures on a daily basis. So stay tuned for all of that as well. We'll have our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and more Ukrainian, great Ukrainian music, much of it from the Maidan. Up next is Klofelin, and that name refers to a prescription drug which has a multitude of uses, and one of which is to treat withdrawal symptoms of substance abuse and also various anxiety disorders. Not sure of the symbolism of that, but at any rate, the artist himself, I was in touch with him, and he was very reluctant, although very appreciative of the interest in his music. He's very, very frightened. He's afraid to really reveal himself, and that does make a sad statement about the situation in Ukraine. At any rate, this has been circulating on YouTube, and I managed to grab the audio for you. And it is another remake of a traditional Ukrainian folk song, a very contemporary twist on it. The original folk song is Horila Sosna, which means burning pine tree, and this one is a very contemporary twist on that folk song. It is called Hori Alashina, which means burning tires. And the lyrics talk all about that, the burning tires, the barricades, the dogs, the people shooting at the demonstrators, the tutushke, which are the thugs that are beating up peaceful protesters, and a call in the end for eventual justice for Ukraine. Here now is Klofelin with Hori Alashina.
Шина палала, там барикада стояла, там барикада стояла. Горіла шина палала, там барикада стояла, там барикада стояла, там барикада стояла, там барикада стояла, диких собак не пускала, диких собак не пускала, там барикада стояла, диких собак не пускала, диких собак не пускала. Горіла шина, ще й бензин, горіла шина, ще й бензин, стріляв здалека сучий син, стріляв здалека сучий син. Горіла шина, ще й бензин, стріляв здалека сучий син, стріляв здалека сучий син. Горіла шина, ще й мішок, горіла шина, ще й мішок, ой, навезли нам тітушок, ой, навезли нам тітушок. Горіла шина, ще й мішок, ой, навезли нам тітушок, ой, навезли нам тітушок. Ой, секи-секи ви мої, ой, секи-секи ви мої, довго служили ви мені, довго служили ви мені. Ой, секи-секи ви мої, довго служили ви мені, довго служили ви мені. Більше служить не будете, більше служить не будете, під суд народний підете, під суд народний підете. Більше служить не будете, під суд народний підете, під суд народний підете. Під суд народний трибунал, під суд народний трибунал, кожен піде регіонал, кожен піде регіонал. Під суд народний трибунал, кожен піде регіонал, кожен піде регіонал. Горіла шина палала, горіла шина палала, там барикада стояла, там барикада стояла. Горіла шина палала, там барикада стояла, там барикада стояла.
Thanks to the foresight and generosity of its donors, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for the past 50 years. Since 1963, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing artists and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in a Canada which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Holis listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, contact the Shevchenko Foundation at 204-944-9128, toll-free 1-866-524-5314, or visit shevchenkofoundation.com. Thank you.
на снігу. Печать холодна, ніжнуть. Світ стоїть. На краю я з одним яму в серці йду. Там, де наші заповідні сни дивляться сни. Йду. Вічно близько до весни. Йду. І бачу, як знімається сонце, падає сонце твоїх очах. В твоїх очах. Щастя на бігу, де світ надягне свою ліпшу сукню і втіче. Там, де бачу, як знімається сонце і падає сонце в твоїх очах.
Was Alex Kretov, one half of the duo Umagma from Ternopil and Kamenets in Ukraine, and that is a very recent composition and release in Ukrainian for the first time by Alex. They usually perform in English. And that song was called Krok. Coming up next is a group from Ukraine called the Patricia Rock Band, and this group was brought to my attention by Volodya Volkov of the Jewish Heritage Museum in Lviv. And the Patricia Rock Band was formed in 2003 by Ostap Panchishin and close friends from the Lviv Music Academy, and they have been playing concerts starting in 2011, they played concerts with the Symphony Orchestra of the Lviv Music Academy and have since gone on to be quite a success. In 2012, the band organized a charitable concert to raise funds for the preservation of cultural heritage sites in Lviv. Now, of course, they are very active on the Maidan, and up next is a remake of Yazdamsya, which means I Will Give In, and that's in a romantic way. They have remade it now, and it has been retitled as well, and it means I will not give up, and it obviously refers to what is happening now at Maidan in Ukraine. Here now is the Patricia Rock Band with Nizdamsya Tobi, I Will Not Give Up.
Не сдався, And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. Of all cereals, buckwheat occupies the foremost place in the dietary habits of Ukrainian people. Buckwheat is to the Ukrainian what oatmeal is to the Scot. It is interesting to know, however, that this three-sided kernel is not really a grain, but a fruit native to Eastern and Central Europe and closely related to the rhubarb family. It is surrounded by a tough husk that must be removed to reveal the edible berry or groat. Buckwheat flour is known for its use in pancakes, and bees make an excellent honey from the fragrant flowers of buckwheat. I always use this honey when I make traditional Ukrainian honey cake. Buckwheat is high in potassium, rutin, an important bioflavonoid, phosphorus, especially vitamin E, calcium, and the B vitamins. Its high rutin content makes this grain food good for strengthening the capillaries and for lowering the likelihood of hemorrhages. Buckwheat is a good blood builder and neutralizes acidic wastes, which is very beneficial. It is beneficial for the kidneys also. Baked buckwheat kasha is sometimes favored as a substitute for potatoes or as a main dish in combination with a protein food or as an accompaniment to a clear broth. Baked kasha is excellent for stuffings for meat, poultry, and holubtsi or cabbage rolls. Remember, for a richer tasting product, use a soup or mushroom stock in place of the water. Meat drippings also make a very nice addition. A good tip is to wash the groats in warm water, drain, and toast on a tray in the oven at 350 degrees or on the stovetop in a heavy frying pan with or without fat before using. For 2 cups of groats, use about 4 to 5 tablespoons of fat. The toasting brings out the lovely nutty flavor associated with buckwheat. This easy buckwheat casserole is delicious and is great for busy days. It's soul food. Take a cup of rinsed and toasted groats. Fry up some diced onion, about 1/2 cup, and in a few tablespoons of butter until limp. Then take about 1 pound of Ukrainian garlic sausage, ham, bacon, or any double smoked sausage and fry it for a few minutes. Add to the mixture with water, about 3 cups, or soup stock, salt and pepper to taste. And if you have any cooked mushrooms, throw them in. Put in a casserole and bake for 1 hour at 350 degrees. Try it. It's Ukrainian. Until next time, happy cooking!
Join us again next week for Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar.
Some homegrown talent for you there. That was Helena Stolyarchuk from Lillooet, BC, and an original composition called Tum or There. Up next is Myra. Welcome to Knyzhka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, Ukrainian stories in English.
The book we're reviewing today is Sliding on the Snowstone by Andrew Spook. When Andy Spook asked his father about his earliest memory, he replied, "Russian soldiers carrying corpses away." After hearing about his father's life, Spook decided that this story must be told. Sliding on the Snowstone gives readers a glimpse into the incredible determination that kept the Ukrainian nation alive through centuries of foreign oppression. As Sliding on the Snowstone begins, it is 1932, and five-year-old Stepan realizes that his tiny village near the town of Vinnytsia has changed forever. Soviet soldiers are picking up the bodies of his starving neighbors on the road. Stepan's description is heart-wrenching. They began by taking away all our grain, and once they'd done that, they stripped rural Ukraine of all its food produce. There was nothing left to eat. Of course, back then, I didn't know all that. I was just a boy. All around them, people are starving to death, in front of Soviet soldiers eating and drinking their fill. Stepan's family manages to survive during the Holodomor because of their cow's milk and the Ukrainian will to survive. They tried to crush us, but our spirit was too strong with that Cossack blood inside us. After the Holodomor, the village slowly recovers, but not for long. In 1941, the Nazis invade Ukraine. The villagers rejoice because they are free of their Soviet masters. However, they soon realize that they have just traded one dictator for another. The Nazis demand food and unquestionable loyalty. Whenever there's a problem, villagers are executed. At one point, Stepan and his father are in line to be executed. However, they manage to flee to the west, hoping to escape the war. They get as far as Slovenia through the kindness of strangers. However, their luck ends here. At the end of the war, Stepan finds himself in a displaced persons camp run by Americans, where he narrowly escapes repatriation to the Soviet Union. Stepan eventually settles in England, where he finds a supportive Ukrainian community. In his later years, he watches in horror as his native Ukraine is ravaged by the Chernobyl disaster. However, he is also thrilled when the Soviet regime crumbles and Ukraine gains its independence. He even returns to his homeland. Andy Spook's historical memoir of his father's experiences is a touching story told with honesty and integrity. The core of the book is a chronological narrative beginning in 1932 during the Holodomor and ending in 2003. Readers whose relatives lived through the Nazi occupation and the post-war era will definitely be able to relate to Stepan's story. This is Andy Spook's first full-length book. Readers will be fascinated by the strength of the narrative and the incredible survival of the Ukrainian spirit, and they should definitely look forward to new works by this author. Andy Spook is a short story writer and poet based in Nottingham, England. He is a member of the DIY Poets, a performance poetry collective in Nottingham. His works have appeared in anthologies such as Mosaic, Stories for Homes, and A Menu of Death. He is also the author of the web-based work, The History of Rock and Roll in 99 Tweets. His most recent work is the poetry collection, Droplets of Verse, Selected Poems, Volume 1, 2012. Sliding on the Snowstone is available in North America at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Thanks, Myra. Join us again soon for another edition of Konishka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
Ви слухайте українську радіопрограму «Наш голос» на багатомовній радіостанції AM 1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері.
Юрба проти влади. Чи є щось страшніше? Йдуть люди на площу, бо нікуди більше. І беркут напроти, в шоломах з кийками. Манкурти сучасні, ні тата, ні мами. Солдате, солдате, не бий свого брата, згадай свого батька, поглянь же на матір, життя положили, та визнати мушу, усе в них украли, ще й плюнули в душу, за кого ти вийшов, кого ти борониш, вони не є люди, а ти все їм годиш. Отямся, солдате, задуматись треба, де люди, де нелюдь, де прірва, де небо. Солдате, солдате, не бий свого брата, згадай свого батька, поглянь же на матір, життя положили, та визнати мушу, усе в них украли, і пам'ять, і душу. Солдате, солдате, не бий свого брата, згадай свого батька, поглянь же на матір, життя положили, та визнати мушу, усе в них украли.
And another song from the Maidan and YouTube, and that was called Soldate. We don't know who the author or the performer is, but we probably don't really need to know. The words speak for themselves. They say, soldier, don't kill your brothers. Ina Tsarkova is a longtime employee of the Canadian Embassy in Kyiv. She is a support staffer there and has worked with many Canadian ambassadors, including former Ambassador Derek Fraser, who now lives in Victoria. At about 1 a.m. on February the 1st, Ina's car was torched, along with those of several other Automaidan activists. Ina kindly agreed to tell us what happened. We spoke by phone yesterday. Ina Vitayu, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you're safe. This is actually not that much reported in the news, at least so far. We're talking on Saturday morning here. Tell us what happened. How did you find out about it, and what happened?
About 1 a.m. In the morning, actually, I was already asleep. My husband was still watching news. He saw a flash out of the window. We live on the fifth floor of a 9-story apartment, so it's not very high, and he saw an unusual flash of light. So he went to the window and saw that our car was instantly on fire.
Where was your car located?
Just parked on the street outside of the apartment building, exactly in front of the windows of our apartment.
Oh, my God.
So he saw this, you know, the car being on fire. He called me immediately. He rushed out. I followed him, and we tried to, you know, I took some bottles or whatever. We tried, you know, some water, but there is snow also extensive. We tried that. And on the way out, while running down the stairs, I called my sister, who is in the same apartment building, for her to call police or whoever. And she rushed out, and we were trying, you know, all the snow possible, but the fire was extensive, so it was inside. The front right window of the car was broken in, and we assumed it was the so-called Molotov cocktail, because the inside of the car was immediately on fire and really burning. It was not like something small starting. It was immediate, like, big fire. Fire brigade came pretty soon after we came out and helped us taming it. Then they took some expertise afterwards. We've been a bit shocked, of course, and there were some strange uniformed, in police uniforms, very young guys standing some 150 meters as onlookers and making real fun of it. And when the fire was tamed, I came to them asking, like, who are you or what are you doing here? And they were kind of, you know, neglecting, making fun. And when I asked them for their IDs, because they're wearing uniforms, they're supposed to show their IDs to people if they're doing, if they're in business. They can't wear uniforms out of business. But they retreated in some cars. Unfortunately, we didn't take pictures of those cars. But we do have pictures of the actual fire and how we tried to tame it and what happened to the car afterwards, because one of my neighbors is being a professional photographer. So he saw also the flash and he came out on his balcony and was trying to make as many pictures as possible. And then we took some pictures after the incident to, for us to document what happened to the car. Then, you know, we had police and others, like police investigators, two guys who kind of took or wrote a report and took our explanations, but were really kind of aggressive towards us. I don't know, you know, if they were tired or not, but one thing that I do remember clearly, that's one of him, when I was, you know, I was really agitated when they made a report without properly taking facts. And I said, no, I'm going to add to this report every single row that I don't agree to. And they didn't agree. And then the police officer, you know, he showed us ID and we documented this too by photographing it. He just turned to me and said, yeah, I hate you.
What?
That's, yes, police officer on duty said, I hate you. And that was in front of my husband and in front of my sister and in front of the other police officer. And I wrote that into their report. And today I had a visit from another investigative officer where he interrogated me as a victim, apparently. But I, again, wrote down the same. So that's basically the account of that night.
I am speechless. This, that's just unbelievable. A police officer would tell you, I hate you. And this is not...
Because I did not agree with what she wrote or how he wrote or how he didn't want me to add or... to we have the system, you know, living in Ukraine, when police officers sometimes making reports leave blanks, and then they can write into it something that you didn't agree or didn't even know. So people in Ukraine know that you have to kind of cross with ink every single space so that nothing is written into it afterwards. So they certainly didn't like me doing that. I also asked them about those younger police officers who were mocking at the scene and just disappearing without showing their ID. He didn't even like that, too.
Now, Inet, you are, you had explained to me earlier, you're an employee of the staff. You are a Ukrainian citizen, and you are employed by the Canadian Embassy in Kiev.
Yeah.
And what is your role?
An official status, so my position is called political economic officer. But I just want to underline that, you know, this happens not in the relation to the Canadian embassy, though Ukrainian media, they always jump to the conclusion, because I also do a lot of media relations and lots of media people know me, that I work at the embassy. So immediately after I posted my pictures and account of what happened on the website, there were kind of conclusions that, you know, Canada introduced sanctions, the car of one of the employees has been torched or something related. I just have to note here that I don't think it's related to the embassy at all. Maybe because, you know, I can be a bit more visible, but only to that extent. But it's happening not just to me, but a lot of people who are more active in their social activities, and I've been actively supporting Maidan outside of the embassy, hours, weekends, you know, nights, or doing other stuff, or being with the Automaidan when protesting at President Yanukovych's residence, stuff like that. So I've been quite engaged, and I'm pretty sure that this is connected to that, because after the first protest in the residence of President Yanukovych, where a few thousand of cars joined the protests, and we just joined in the last stage because we were close to the vicinity. The plates of those cars were somehow documented and then thrown into the open access to the internet with full data of people who own cars. So it means that right now you can find me, like my full name, date of birth, passport, like all my passport data, my address, the type of the car, where I bought it, even the bank which credited that. So it's a lot of personal information, and certainly it's not accessible to regular people. It means that I'm pretty sure that Ukrainian law enforcement and Interior Ministry is doing that. So.
Where is Edward Snowden when you need him? Wow.
Yeah.
So you're saying that there is some speculation that this was, actually I received a tweet this morning saying that this was the work of criminals, a group called OPLOT, O-P-L-O-T, Russian FSB from Kharkiv.
But OPLOT?
OPLOT, is that what it is?
Not sure. Of course, I can't refute or confirm that. I've also saw somewhere on the internet that another organization, which I never heard about, called Red Sector, already took responsibility for torching 9 cars the last night and 23 cars 2 nights before in Kiev only.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure because, you know, if some thugs or hooligans are trying to, you know, torch cars. We have outside of our building, I just counted recently, about 25 cars parked densely on the street, and only my car was torched. So it means it's a targeted action against people whose data was thrown into the open access after protesting outside of Mezhgorye. And I talked to other people because before that, authorities had another way of threatening people. They reported some traffic, minor administrative violence against people who didn't pull out at the request of police officers at places and time where people could not be there. And based on that, people were brought to courts, and like me, driving licenses were suspended for 6 months. So it's a targeted action against people of the so-called Automaidan. They were not activists. We've just joined them once because we were near, and second time because we were going that way.
Okay, tell us about...
But they have documented plate numbers, which they're just randomly torching.
Tell us what Automaidan is for those who are not familiar.
Automaidan is, it was an initiative of people which drove from the so-called road patrol, civic road patrol, which exists in Ukraine for some time when drivers, you know, in their private vehicles are trying to prevent traffic police violence. Normally it's corruption when they're just stopping cars and you have to pay, and other violences. But when Maidan broke in November, Kiev citizens with private vehicles decided to support Maidan, so they organized patrols around Maidan. They were going around Kiev with flags and honking, you know, just trying to attract attention of people. That's what's going on. And then they started this initiative of basically going to these very posh and very expensive residences, starting with President Yanukovych and other officials, just going outside and standing there, you know, protesting. And Ukrainian authorities, government officials, are not used to it. And when the first Automaidan action to Mezhigirye, the residence of the current president, happened or was announced on the 29th, that was an enormous outcome, like more than 2,000 cars.
Wow.
And people coming with kids, you know, like, can you imagine all these cars with flags coming towards, you know, the official residence? Of course, police was scared. They brought special forces. People didn't break in anything, but they were standing for quite a long time, scanning, you know, their mottos, demanding, you know, first it was about your integration. Now it's a bit different. It's about, you know,
it's about dignity.
Get out. Yeah. Right. Dignity, safety. Stop killing, stop kidnapping, stop beating. So this is called Automaidan. So it's part of Maidan, but it's people on wheels.
What I don't understand, Inna, is you describe...
Excuse me.
That's okay. A
bit of smoke last night from the car.
That came out into your...
burning car. No, that's okay. It's not that much, but because when you're near, you know, all this plastic and rubber, you're bound to get some.
What I don't understand is the people that are actually committing this brutality. Who are they? You had those young men out there that were jeering and mocking and were happy to see your car torch.
I don't know. I don't know because I just saw them and I came to them asking like who they were. You know, for me, knowing regular police officers, you know, first of all, the number, they come in twos and threes. The number was about 1,000. I didn't count, of course, but larger than the usual patrols. The age, they were much younger than normal police officers or traffic police officers who work. It's their jobs, but these guys were younger. I don't know, but they were dressed in uniforms. They never showed me ID when I asked, and they departed as soon as I was insisting.
Did they talk to you?
No.
So you don't know what language they were speaking? You couldn't detect any kind of accent?
No, but frankly, you know, I probably overheard them talking among themselves. I don't think they were Russians or whatever you mean. I just don't think so. They were too young, you know, from my understanding, to be brought from outside of the country. They were really young, maybe 16, but 17, 18.
But in uniform.
19.
And in uniform.
Yeah, but they were wearing uniform, which are, you know, coats with militia on their backs. And I asked the police investigators when they were putting together a report who they were. They said they didn't know.
I was going to say earlier that as a Canadian, I am personally offended at this act and outraged. Although you say that it was not a political statement against Canada per se, but more personally against you and your activity.
Yeah, I can confirm this because, you see, we're really, my husband and I are kind of active in this Maidan thing. So I'm pretty sure I already canvassed when I was first harassed for non-pulling, you know, this fake accusation and first report. I canvassed other alias in place of the embassy and no one got it. So I was the only one, I think, from the embassy who was actually brought to court with actual hearing and suspension of driving license.
Wow.
So I don't think it's connected to my line of duty as the employee of the embassy, frankly. And certainly we're not diplomats, we're not carrying any official functions, we're so-called support staff.
I see. Okay.
So I don't perform anything of my own, or I don't represent Canadian government.
I see.
You know, according to Vienna Convention, it's not my role. We are support staff to official Canadian diplomats. I don't have any decision, you know,
sure.
And I'm pretty sure that in so many years, even authorities can understand that, you know, LES are not the ones who have influence, lobbying, ability, decision making.
So this was an act of intimidation against you personally, not against the Canadian government.
I think it's against activists of various forms of Maidan, yes.
Ina, are you, you must be concerned for your personal safety, obviously, but I think probably you, all of you in Ukraine, block it out and just do what you have to do, to make your voices heard.
That's exactly, I couldn't say it better.
So you basically don't worry about your personal safety?
No one can say you don't worry. Yes, I worry, but at the same time, it's been happening for quite a long time now, at least myself as the owner of the car for my family, like the car is my property, not my husband's. I'm pretty sure if it would have been registered on his name, he would be harassed. I'm harassed by police and other interior troops officials since the beginning of January. Very beginning. It started on the 2nd of January. So, many, many other people, because we do talk to each other, you know, people who are in the same circumstances. I don't know. Did I mention that, you know, 23 cars 2 days before and 9 cars over this night and, over 2,000 cases of, suspending of driving licenses based on the trip to President Yanukovych's residence. So this is quite a big operation, and I think it's, you know, it's aimed at threatening people, just showing them, you know, if you don't give up, that's what happens, and that's the aim of the current authorities.
And you had said earlier that Ukrainians are not in a mood to fold up and go home and back off.
I don't think so. No. Yeah. Because it's getting worse and worse, and it's my own feeling, and at least, you know, with the people I talk to, I like my friends and family and, you know, extended circle of communication, people will understand that if we don't stand up enough, then, you know, it means the end of Ukraine in terms of democracy and real freedoms. It will be the Soviet Empire back in the 1930s when people were just thrown to prisons, killed. And that's happening in Ukraine. You've been following, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
But it's not happening in mass now, but it will be more and more. If, you know, if people give up, then it will be, this is my now personal opinion, that Ukraine will follow Russian scenario of after Bolotna, when, you know, the massive protests have been broken, and then people were arrested one by one.
Well, hope and pray, Ina, that that does not happen. May God be with you and keep Ukraine, and may all of you stay safe.
I hope too. That's why I'm active.
And we are so with you here in Canada.
Thank you.
All the best. Thank you
really,
so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. By the way, if I have a chance, I must say that lots of my Canadian friends whom I befriended on meds or just, you know, got to know through my 22 years at the embassy, already called, tweeted, text, emailed with support, and I'm really, really appreciative, and as well as my family, because, you know, I can see that's real, real support that people want us to endure. Thank you all.
Okay, thank you, Ina. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And I was speaking with Ina Tsarkova, staffer at the Canadian Embassy in Kyiv. And you're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. Here's what's coming up this week in Vancouver's Ukrainian community. On Wednesdays, catch Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio broadcasting live from Nanaimo to north and central Vancouver Island, the Gulf Islands, the Sunshine Coast, Northwest Washington State, and Greater Vancouver. In our new two-hour time slot, 11:30 a.m. till 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time, Wednesdays on CHLY Radio Malaspina, 101.7 FM on the radio dial and streaming online at chly.ca. You can get the links to the podcast for both the Nanaimo and this Vancouver edition at www.nashholos.com. This Friday, enjoy a pierogi supper at the Holy Trinity Ukrainian Orthodox Auditorium, 154 East 10th Avenue in Vancouver from 5 till 8 p.m. For details, call Holy Trinity Ukrainian Orthodox Parish at 604-274-8030 or visit uocvancouver.com. Contact TV airs on multicultural channel Omni 1 and on channel 8 on Shaw Cable Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. with a repeat broadcast the following Monday at noon. If you have announcements or story ideas you'd like aired on Contact, please email them at studio@contact.ca. That's studio@kontakt.ca. And at 5 p.m. Sunday evening, flip your radio dial right back here to AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver and join me for another hour of fun here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In between broadcasts, you'll find upcoming events, program information, audio archives, podcast feeds, and much more at www.nashholos.com. Ну, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Ще час додому висказати. До побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Безправність має коротке життя. And our proverb of the week translates as injustice has a short life. Let's hope that's true. And that just about wraps up another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. Just a reminder to tune in Wednesday at 11:30 for our two-hour broadcast on CHLY 101.7 FM Nanaimo. And you can get that signal here in Vancouver, so do tune in. We'll be having some guests from Ukraine live. It is a live broadcast, so you will be getting live-time, real-time updates from Ukraine. And anything can happen in 3 days in Ukraine, as we've been seeing. So do tune in, 101.7 FM on your radio dial, online, chly.ca. So to wrap up this edition of Nash Holos, we've got Sashko from Ukraine and a song called Shinkariska. I'm Pavlina Demchuk-Macquarie on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and AM 1320. Thanks so much for listening, and Dobranich!
Ой, на горі квіточки прихожні повжилися, а у шинку козашенька примати горілиці. Ой, п'ють вина горілки, медом запивають, лиш молодий козашенька грошенят немає. Шинкарочка молода, тайно поцілую, а ти ж мені даси меду чарочку другую. Ні, жінка старий, я пень, оглядати мушу, пий меди хоч кожен день, лиш будь мені за мужа. Не пристало козаку за пішку сидіти, можу тебе лиш одненько, ніченько любити. Любиш мене, козашеньку, як шинкар не може, намалюй мені маленьку шинкарочку ожу, щоб вчилася в шинку винай мед носити, шумаку і козакові голову дурити. Я роблю лиш козаків, а дівок не стану, хай буде між шинкарями вашим отаманом.
хитрий буде, як шинкар, спритний, як козаки. Не заплатиш, розрубає з матухи до пупа. Шинкарочка з козаком торгувала смічку, потім медом наповала і задула свічку.